Beast Game Podcast. And this weekend, the two Trekkies in the Beast Game crew watched the season 2 trailer for Star Trek Discovery, which comes out, I believe, January 19th. And Keith, what did you think of the trailer?
I'm not sure how I feel about the new Spock.
I'm
missing Zachary Quinto here. Dude's not really doing a whole lot, but kind of hope that they could do a switcheroo and have him come back and stuff. Clearly, it's a little difficult to just locate a Spock for anybody. But, I mean, on the other hand, I am pleased that they decided not to be holden to the JJ verse.
The Klingons still look like crap.
I didn't see an image of the Klingons.
Those are the Klingons, dude.
Those aren't Klingons?
They were.
Huh. I think they looked a little different.
I think you forgot what the Klingons looked like. Yes, they were them.
They looked a little different there. Maybe I need to rewatch that. Let me, they weren't as horrendous. Well, maybe I'm used to the new ones than that. They weren't as horrifyingly bad as they were before, but it's kind of hard to gauge where this is going or what they're trying to do with the whole series. I'm used to Star Trek series. You've got a certain dynamic. You've got your captain. You've got your first officer. You've got your various officers and non-commissioned officers who operated in their own, are part of the ensemble cast and everything. And if it's going to continue to be the series where they have the guest captain of the season type of thing, I'm going to be like,
because at the end of the first season, they run into the Christopher Pike version of the Enterprise.
So you're telling me they changed the captains? Like every season is going to be like a new captain, new show?
Well, the first season, there was a very good reason why the captains changed. The first season, Barnum gets sent off to Starfleet jail because she disregards the rules and tries to start a war with the Klingons. Michelle Yeoh's character, who was the original captain of the ship that Michael Barnum was on, she dies. So she winds up being transported. Her ship is attacked, and the Discovery is the closest ship that rescues her. The captain takes a liking to her, but it turns out that captain is not the captain from that universe. He's from the Mirror Universe, if you are familiar with Star Trek. He is basically trying to gather enough to go back to his universe and take over. Michelle Yeoh, she also exists in the Mirror Universe, another version of her.
Mirror Universe thing factors heavily in this.
Yeah.
Think about this, James, that first season Discovery, the big selling point for me for that was that the captain of the ship was not your traditional Starfleet captain. And
yeah, he's not Jean-Luc Picard. He's just like, yo, let's go over there and like destroy him.
He's pretty hardcore. And Barry and I kind of did. I think we disagreed on.
He's not diplomatic at all then, basically.
Oh, no.
No, he's not going to sit there and give you a speech about life and the prime directive. He's like, yo, all right, let's get this done, people. Like, I don't care. I just want to go back.
The whole other reason for why he's like that. And one, he doesn't give a shit about the universe. And two, he's on his own mission and stuff.
He's from the Mirror Universe. So he's just playing it off that he is the actual same character from that timeline.
And he is out for his own goals. That whole twist in the first season was kind of what sold me on the show. But it felt like they were backtracking on that.
When they start really introducing all that, and then, like, all the characters, at some point, they go to the Mirror Universe, and they're trying to play themselves off as those characters. That's when the season started to take a nosedive. Then it was, like, some other love plot lines and just random crap that took the season down, but the season ended strong, and that's all I can say. So it made me optimistic to see a season 2, but for this trailer, also, again, Michael Barnum, like, I just don't like the series being centered around one character. That is not what Star Trek is. The Michael Barnum, who is the least interesting character, I find, related to Sarek and Spock, that she has been retconned into their lives. This is all just convoluted, and now Spock is in this season, and then Christopher Pike is in this season, because Christopher Pike, that Enterprise, got transported to them. That's how the season ends. I will watch this. The Klingons still look like garbage. Please change them. One problem with the first season was just some of the side characters. Again, the whole focus was on Michael Barnum, so the side characters are really underdeveloped at times.
I'll have to wait and see. I'm going to take a wait and see approach. I can't judge too much by what's going on. Like what you said, Star Trek has always been sort of an ensemble cast, but at the same time, the captain was always a linchpin. The linchpin being someone who is not the captain, it's sort of a difficult sell.
Technically, the third in command. The third in command is the focus of the show.
But she's not even technically the third in command. She's still not, like, I don't know.
Well, I will say that Saru was a highlight, like, when he was captain. Again, is that stereotypical Star Trek captain?
Yes, yes, very much. And I like the idea
that he's a little bit captain. More rigid, because it's like, all I want to do is follow the rules. And then his race of people, that also was kind of ingrained into his character. But there was also that one weird episode where he got taken over by like another alien race. That was stupid. It just starts getting convoluted. But go ahead, Keith.
I like the idea that his species evolved from, they weren't predators, apex predator on that planet. They were herd animals almost. You know, they were the prey. A lot of potential for his character. A Starfleet officer who was disgraced, that kind of stain on them and stuff, was welcome as well. There was a number of ways they could have gone with it.
That's Deep Space Nine.
They could have gone with that stuff, but they ended up kind of falling into the same negative tropes that Star Trek shows would often have. And to have, what, 13 episodes?
Yeah.
12 or 13 episodes? Yeah. You've got a very limited amount of time to tell your main storyline arc. And that is just enough time to tell your main story arc in a normal Star Trek series. Like Deep Space Nine, you had maybe 10 episodes that were focused on the actual main story arc for the season. Then you had a bunch of filler. Next Generation, it was all two or three episodes that focused on a continuing arc. But for the most part, they were all one-offs, just one-off episodes. For Discovery, you had something unique that could have been something that a lot of fans would have liked. And that was tell a long-running story across 13 episodes, not bog it down with a bunch of filler and stuff. But unfortunately, what they ended up doing was like, that's what it was. They ended up putting filler in there, kind of slowing it all down a little bit. In the end, if you could see the competing vision from the showrunners, on one hand, I wanted to just go back to telling Star Trek stories.
Yeah, because
they did do that.
This one focuses on something called the Red Angel or Red Queen or something like that.
Yeah, the Red Angel.
Is trying to take over the universe and destroy humanity. I mean, happens in Star Trek. It's fine. Apparently, the Romulans might play a factor into the Red Angel this season, which is fine because there was no mention of Romulans, but there was mention of those crappy Klingons in the first season. So there might be some Romulan connection, and then also initial trappings of the Romulan-Klingon war, or the beginnings of that, that kind of play a factor into that.
I'm going to be honest with you. They need to just bounce the whole series. Like, just don't even talk about the Enterprise. It's all about this new show. Don't worry about the timelines. Just tell your damn stories. They keep trying to go back to playing homage and stuff. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm tired of them going back and telling the story.
They can't go forward. They can't go anything past Voyager for whatever reason. And it's very frustrating because it was supposed to be a Captain Riker show at some point. That there was at least talks about one way Riker would be captain.
Recently?
Not recently. No. But that would have been post-Enterprise. Then those movies, the J.J. Abrams versus lens flares and all, then that changed everything. It's like, oh, well, we can reboot it. And then the later two movies failed. And now you have this TV series. Done.
They can't even afford to make the new ones coming out. You got the lead actors for the J.J. Abrams reboot are done. The interesting thing is that...
And there was I didn't mean to cut you off, but there was also talk of reviving Chris Hemsworth's character, James Kirk's father, George Kirk.
Yeah. Yeah, they were going to do that somehow, for this one. So the plan was, because Chris Hemsworth is so popular now, in order to generate excitement and to get the funding, they had to bring in a big name for that. Let's bring in Chris Hemsworth. And then they threw that out there to the board and said, we're going to do a movie with Chris Hemsworth, and he's going to be it. So Thor is going to be in it, and we're going to have this in it. And we're talking about doing other things with tie-ins to the TV show and all this other stuff. So they basically started selling a bunch of crap. That was just so that they can sell the new movie coming out. But they can't afford Chris Hemsworth, can't afford Chris Pine, because he was promised a raise, a pay hike. And not only that, the rest of the cast and crew is promised a pay hike. Like, most of those dudes are actually worth some money and stuff now.
Yeah, so pretty much they can't afford Chris Hemsworth, definitely, because he's making the Marvel money. And
Chris Pine, they can't afford him. He flat out said he was done. He was out.
Yeah,
they're not going to pay him the money. What are they going to do, replace him with another actor? Good luck with that.
And this whole series, or at least that series of movies, is all focused around the original cast. So you can't change that up too much.
Nope. And no one's really interested in doing a movie without Chris Pine because it's going to look stupid. So at that point, that new Star Trek movie was sold on the current actors plus Chris Hemsworth. They try to sell the movie with Chris Hemsworth plus a new Captain Kirk. That shit ain't going to work. So they're like, it's done. So on paper, it's still officially in pre-production, but they've not signed. He's like, he's flat safe. He's not going to do it.
All these media conglomerates have their pay for TV service and Star Trek Discovery. Now we can tell short stories, but these short stories aren't as great as they were when it was just normal Star Trek. But then I think there's also going to be like a Captain Picard show. I want to say there might be like 3 or 4 shows in development. That
Captain Picard show is supposed to be a go. It's straight up. Like, I don't know if they started filming yet. Pre-productions. They don't have scripts or anything like that set. So it's a done deal. Patrick Stewart signed. They just got to get everything up. So
it's supposed to be that Quentin Tarantino Star Trek.
And they're like saying that's a few years out. Again, that's another thing of them where they were trying to get the movies made. They're trying to get the funding for the movies together. If they're having this much of a problem with this stuff, then it's not looking good.
And then there was supposed to be a Starfleet Academy series. I think that might also still be out there. I think there's also like a Khan series in development. And then you have that Patrick Stewart one. Star Trek is just in a world of hurt. And as someone that loves Star Trek, this has just gone off in a wrong way. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that they just can't innovate. They just keep going backwards, muddying up the timeline, and then also muddying up, well, this version of this character plays Spock, and this version of the character plays Spock in the movies, and it just doesn't make sense.
It's not just that. That's basically the same problem, because like, I sent you that article, that video that talked about this, but basically, like, Viacom controls CBS, but it's two separate entities. It's Viacom and then Paramount. Paramount Movies is the one that's producing the new Star Trek movies, the J.J. Abrams one. They only have rights to the new J.J. Abrams Star Trek. They don't have the rights to the Next Generation or any of those things that came from the Next Generation universe or even the original series. So they can't pull too much from the original series. So it's like you literally have two different entities, two different houses who are flat out not cooperating with each other at all. The CBS All Access Network is controlled by the parent Viacom company. And they've got rights to the Next Generation universe, the original series, and all the movies and stuff that tied into those. So they've got all the lore, all the backend stuff, and the new stuff and the new series here has none of that. It's a giant fucking mess. Some of the decisions that were made in such a way, sans the fans. It was made as by the numbers and to try and impress, not the actual audience, but to impress shareholders and the people who actually control the money. So rather than say, this is what the fans want, it's like, hey guys, look at this stuff. Do you like this? Do you think this is what's going to make you more money? They've been going about this and it's blown up in their fucking face. Everybody wants to be the next Netflix now. So everybody's pulling their own streaming service and shit. Everybody wants to be the next Steam. So now you got Epic Games making their own shit. Money in the waters.
Echo that sentiment and Beast Game Podcast.